As followers of Jesus, called to embody his way in and through our own bodies, what does it mean to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to forgive sins, to even raise the dead? How is it that we can be Jesus? These are the themes we've been pursuing through these Sundays of July, and today we'll consider our calling to join with Jesus in forgiving sins. The passage that Dorothy has just read for us is part of the Easter story, where we come upon the disciples on the evening of that first day of the week, huddled in a room behind locked doors, fearing for their lives, when out of the blue, Jesus appears to them. The passage that Dorothy read extends beyond where we stop today to include the story about Thomas, how he wasn't with them when Jesus came, and how unless he could see for himself and touch for himself, he would not believe that Jesus had been raised from death. And most often, that's where I would go with this passage of Scripture, with a sermon focused on the experience of Thomas and on doubt and the place of doubt in our faith. But today, thanks to our focus on how it is that we can be Jesus, on how it is that we can be about his call to forgive sins, my eyes have been opened to the first part of the story with its dynamic of forgiveness. Who would have thought so much could be conveyed in the space of the four verses that Dorothy read? Let's watch again for what happens. Here are the disciples hiding behind locked doors, prisoners of their own fear, when Jesus appears among them. And what are his first words? Peace be with you, he says. Peace, he says to these friends who deserted him when the tide turned against him. Peace be with you, he says, to these friends who walked away from him in grief and disappointment. Peace be with you. And then notice how he shows them his wounds. There's no attempt to cover up what happened, to deny the pain, the searing reality of those last days. But notice too how he doesn't blame or belabor or lay a guilt trip on them. The story actually says that they were glad upon seeing him, not humiliated or ashamed. There is no hint of self-righteousness in the way Jesus is with them. Imagine after such betrayal, being greeted with such generosity. It's here that we might be tempted to say, well, that's Jesus after all, and we're not Jesus. We can't do that. And yet watch what comes next. One more time, he says to them, after showing them his wounds, the reality, he says to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Can you hear what he's saying? He's saying, it's now up for you to take up my way, to go to others as I have come to you, bearing the marks of hurt, of shame, of injustice, of abuse, yet responding in peace and mercy. And then he breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit, he says. For Jesus knows full well forgiveness is not something we can accomplish on our own, but it's a gift inspired by the Spirit of God. How many times have I read this passage and missed it? This commissioning of the disciples to bear, to carry God's mercy in the face of hurt, to forgive in the face of wrongdoing. I've read this passage a lot of times and I've always missed it. That forgiveness is the essence of what we are called to be about as Easter people. Forgiveness. And yet, as everyone asks one of us knows, to be called is one thing, to actually live it is another. To forgive ourselves, to forgive others, I think it's the hardest thing we're asked to do. Kind of up there with love your neighbor. Sometimes it's too hard for us because we think forgiveness requires us to forget it ever happened or to decide it wasn't that big a deal. Sometimes it's too hard for us because we imagine it involves denying the truth and talking ourselves into something we really don't believe. And I really want you to hear me when I say these next couple of sentences. Forgiveness is not the same thing as forgetting. Forgiveness doesn't ever make wrongdoing right. Forgiveness is not the same thing as forgetting. And forgiveness doesn't ever make wrongdoing right. Remember the scene in that room where they huddled in fear? Jesus doesn't pretend that nothing happened. And he doesn't justify what did happen. He shows them his wounds. And then he says, peace. Forgiveness involves being real about the truth, being real about the hurt. And it involves letting mercy enter in. Forgiveness involves letting mercy lead us into the way of a new future. And how is that possible when the hurt is raw or the sense of failure runs deep? When the memories linger for a lifetime. I brought two stories that just might help us to see the way ahead. Rachel Remen tells the story of being invited to hear a well-known rabbi speak about forgiveness. Although it wasn't what he had prepared, the message that day was conveyed through what unfolded between him and his one-year-old daughter. He'd only begun to preach his prepared sermon when his wife handed him their child. And there, from her father's arm, this little adorable girl smiled at the congregation, melting everyone's heart. Turning toward her daddy, she patted him on his cheek, and he began to speak. But feeling the tension shift away from her, she reached forward and grabbed his nose. Gently, he unloosed her, and he continued on with the sermon. A few minutes later, she took his tie into her mouth. The entire congregation chuckled as the rabbi rescued his tie and smiled at his child. Then she put her tiny arms around his neck, and looking over the top of her head, he said, "Think about it. Is there anything she can do that you could not forgive her?" Then she reached up and grabbed his glasses. Everyone laughed out loud. Retrieving his glasses and settling them on his nose again, the rabbi laughed as well. Still smiling, he waited for their silence. When it came, he asked, "And when does it stop? When does it get hard to forgive? When someone is 3? At 7? At 14, at 35, at 85? How old does someone have to be before you forgive? Because you remember that everyone is a child of God." How old does someone have to be before you forget that everyone is a child of God? Second story. No, that's still the end of the first story. Until then, Rachel Remen, the one who told this story, said, "I found forgiveness nearly impossible. I thought it was about lowering the standards. But," she says, "now I recognize it's about kinship. All of us are children of God in need of God's grace. All of us." Second story comes from Sarah Miles, from a book called Jesus Freak. She tells of going to visit Tom, a man who was dying, and who wanted to talk to somebody religious about forgiveness. They had never met before, so neither really knew what to expect when Sarah arrived at Tom's door. Sitting together in his living room, he asked her, "Can I just tell you?" For the next hour, Tom poured it all out, the worst of what he had done to his family and the worst of what they had done to him. "I've tried to forgive," he says, "but I can't." And he sat on his couch weeping. Sitting there listening to him, Sarah recalled that Pentecost commission Jesus gave to his disciples, not that high drama one with the tongues of fire and the rushing winds, but the one we had heard about this morning, in which he simply breathes on them and says, "If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Clearly, Tom had retained sins, his own sins and the sins of his family, and they were lodged deeply in his being, tormenting him far more than the prospect of his death. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. But sometimes our capacity for mercy is just not big enough, Sarah recognizes. We have to ask God's mercy, ask for God's mercy, which is infinite, to breathe into us, to inspire us. We can't do it on our own. And so, reaching for his hands, Sarah found herself speaking to Tom, saying, "I think we should ask God to do the forgiving. We're not up to it. I think we should ask God to do the forgiving. Why don't you just say the names of the people who hurt you and the people you hurt?" Tom wept a bit more, and then he grabbed Sarah's hands the tighter and started calling out names. And after each name, they said, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." Not us. "Lord, have mercy." When there were no more names, Sarah leaned closer, knowing it wasn't her own breath. She breathed over Tom's damp, gray forehead. "Peace be with you," she said. "Peace be with you." Her voice was the voice of Christ. Forgiveness involves being real about the truth, being real about the hurt, and letting mercy enter in. Mercy that shows up like a surprise visitor at the door, announced and unbidden. Mercy that gentles a heart gone hard. Mercy that dissolves the bitter taste, that loosens the grip of vengeance or self-hatred. Mercy. God's transformative reach that changes everything, that finds its way through time and space, through fear and failure, through dread and death, to open up a new future. When they at least expected it, Jesus appeared among them. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me," he said, "so I send you, and you, and you, and you, and me."